Hi, I'm Carl Azus. Thank you for taking 10 for CNN 10 this November 10th. Today, we're unraveling a complicated series of events that are likely behind a migration standoff in Europe. This is taking place in the eastern part of the continent at the border between Belarus and Poland. Thousands of people have been camping there in freezing conditions trying to get into the European Union. Belarus is not a member of the EU, but Poland, Lithuania, and Latvia are. They all share borders with Belarus, and they've all seen a surge in the number of people trying to cross over from Belarus into their countries. Lithuania has declared a state of emergency at its border because of the crisis, and Poland says since September, it stopped more than 32,000 attempts by migrants to illegally cross into Poland. These migrants are not from Belarus. Polish officials say they're mostly from Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan. So why is this happening? Well, Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko blames Western nations for causing the problems the migrants are fleeing. But the European Union blames Belarus, saying it's trying to get revenge for punishments the EU gave it in June. The Belarusian government has been accused of holding an unfair election last year and restricting Belarusians' rights and freedoms. So the EU imposed a number of sanctions on Belarus this summer, and European officials say Belarus is trying to pressure the EU by encouraging thousands of migrants to illegally cross into its countries. Belarusian officials have repeatedly denied doing that, and Belarus blames the EU for treating migrants badly at the borders where several people have died. Humanitarian groups have accused Poland of illegally pushing people back into Belarus instead of accepting their applications for protection. Poland says it's been following immigration law, and it's accused Belarusian authorities of pushing migrants toward its border. So a lot of back-and-forth accusations are going on here, and thousands of people are caught in the middle.
The situation at the border between Poland and Belarus remains extremely tense. The Polish authorities are now saying they believe that between 3,000 and 4,000 people are camped out on the Belarusian side and trying to get across. Now, the Polish authorities are saying that's not something that they are going to allow to happen. They say that they've already put in place more than 9,000 soldiers and also thousands of border patrol agents as well to try and prevent people from coming across that border and making it into the European Union. Poland and the European Union both accuse Belarusian strongman Alexander Lukashenko of what they call state-sponsored human trafficking. They say that the regime in Belarus is luring people, especially from Middle Eastern countries, first and foremost from Iraq, to Belarus and then funneling them to the border and trying to get them to go across. Again, the Polish authorities are saying that is not something that they are going to allow to happen. But ultimately, most of those people, the authorities here in Germany believe, are trying to make it to this country, to Germany, and to claim asylum here. And the German border police, they've also increased their patrols as well. And they say they're increasingly coming across migrants. And they say most of the people that they're coming across have made their way to the European Union via Belarus. Fred Pleitgen, Frankfurt an der Oder, Germany.
10-second trivia. What covers 31% of Earth's land area? Lakes, deserts, ice, or forests? Though deserts cover about a third of the Earth, the United Nations says forests cover 31%. Some forests in South America are only a fraction of the size they used to be, and the reasons for that are both legal and illegal. For one thing, there's the need for wood. It's used to make everything from homes to toys, instruments and sporting goods to furniture. Developers clear forests to expand cities or build roads. Farmers clear them to create agricultural fields, and some of this is done without government permission. But all of it can take a toll on the natural canopy and the wildlife that live under it as deforestation progresses. In the Atlantic Forest, which runs from northeast Brazil down to Paraguay and Argentina, there's a conservationist working to reconnect some of the fragments of canopy that remained after deforestation. Here are the efforts of Rolex Awards laureate Lori Cullen.
What I really love about being in a forest is seeing the size of the change we can really make. Is it really possible to bring out that forest back?
Lori Cullen has dedicated his life to restoring the Atlantic Forest in Brazil. after witnessing the destruction of his birthplace.
The Western São Paulo Atlantic Forest Range used to be a very, you know, green, continuous, beautiful landscape. What used to be 100% of forest cover now is only 2%.
Decades of deforestation have led to a significant reduction of one of the world's most diverse habitats. All that remains of the forest are isolated fragments. This means many species are now under threat, as they no longer have the ability to disperse.
The wildlife, especially, you know, jaguars, pumas, ocelots, they are very isolated in small forest patches. They cannot see each other. That's when we started having problems of inbreeding depression that can kill the local population in a very short term.
Cullen and his team use a targeted approach to forest restoration, taking what's left of the fragments and planting in corridors. These proposed corridors aim to connect the fragments and act almost like an express highway for local species.
The dream map is putting priorities where the forest should really be, to make sure we put the right corridors in the right places.
To date, Cullen and his team have restored 3,000 hectares of forest and tell us they have already seen at least half of native species using them, including some animals at most risk of extinction.
Today, it's already possible to see the lion tamarins, the families of this little monkey, by themselves using some of the forest corridors that we have put back. If we just keep on going, the survival of this very endangered species will be okay in the long term.
Cullen is motivated by both the community and climate benefits to reforestation, but his accomplishments represent a transformation that is as much personal as it is philanthropic.
I used to be a hunter, you know, my father used to take me hunting in the Amazon. So that's how I got in contact with forests, killing a lot of endangered species. But now I'm doing my part to put all these forests back, trying to redeem all the bad reputation that I had in the past.
Cullen's efforts benefit not only the landscape, but also the communities living on it.
People are really part of the restoration equation. Every restoration that we do is done by the local people.
Cullen and his team have set themselves the ambitious target of bringing back corridors to cover 60,000 hectares of land, equating to 20% of the whole region.
We have a vision, we have a mission, we have a map, and that's it. We're not going to give up. We have a lot to do.
Today is the first ever Call to Earth Day. Stories like the one you just saw show you how people are taking action to help a planet worth protecting. And that's the focus of a new partnership between CNN and Rolex. If you, your class, your school would like to learn more, please visit cnn.com/calltoearth. To borrow a pun from my colleague Jeremy Roth, this is surreal estate. A castle in Connecticut has hit the market, and when we say castle, this thing has more than 18,000 square feet of living space, 9 bedrooms, 7 full bathrooms, 12 fireplaces. It's in Connecticut, after all. It's got an apartment nearby, and the 75-acre property includes its own moat, cause it was built on a pond. So if you're seeing this and saying, this is fit for the king or queen that is me, you'll need a king's ransom to buy it at $35 million. That's a Camelot. I mean, saving that much money sure would be hard. It could take middle ages. You'd have to be royally flush with cash. You might have to barter with your Shakespeares. For moat people, it would be a futile effort. Hear ye, hear ye! For today's shout-out, we are going to Owensboro, Kentucky, to recognize the students of Owensboro High School. I'm your town crier, Carl Azus, and we hope to see you again tomorrow.